Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing. Please know how grateful we are that you're tuning in. We have a special guest and dear friend of mine with us today, offering our message, Andrew Warner. Andrew and I have been friends since about middle of our seminary years, and we've remained friends that time and shared in ministry together, and I love the fact that he's going to get to share a message with you this morning. We're going to be looking at the 8th chapter of Acts. This is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and Andrew's going to preach a sermon entitled The Mystery of an Anatomy. But before we get to that, we're going to listen to our very own Ellie Parkhill offer us an anthem entitled Come As You Are.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal.
I felt deeply honored when Chapin reached out with an invitation to preach here at God's Acre, but then he told me my scripture passage, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in charge of the Queen's Treasury, me, a gay man in charge of a foundation. Is this a new liturgical day? Sexual minority, money Sunday? Still, I appreciate the chance to think with you about this text and how God calls us to live as disciples. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" He invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearers, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting from this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Amen. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Holy One, we seek your guidance, that from the written word and the spoken word, we can find your true and everlasting word. Alleluia and amen. Traveling one day, I stopped at a Starbucks and placed my regular order, a coffee and a pup cup. The barista looked up at me, paused and said, "Do you want a spoon for that pup cup?" Confused, I said, Why would my dog need a spoon?" In that awkward moment, we both realized she thought I was going to hop in my car and stuff the pup cup in my mouth. She just wanted to save a fat man some dignity. We can't control how other people will see us, but how do we see our own bodies? The question of how I saw my body took on new importance when I received a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, MS, a progressive autoimmune disease that affects the nervous system and muscle control. It began for me with a numbness in my feet and tingling in my legs and arms. A series of tests, blood work, MRI, spinal tap, confirmed the diagnosis. Many people learn that they have MS in their 20s or 30s, but I found out relatively late, just a few years ago. As MS progresses, it causes lesions on our nerves, places where the myelin sheathing around the nerve cell thins. My MRI showed both active lesions but also past damage. MS had affected my body long before I became aware of it. Hearing that news, I felt out of touch with my own body. How could something so big be going on without my perception of it? Diagnosis felt very disorienting. What would my future be? How might the disease progress? During this time, I turned to my brother, who also lives with an autoimmune disease. My brother offered an observation and a question. First, he cautioned against seeing MS as my body attacking itself. "No good comes from that narrative," he said. And then he wondered, "Coming out as gay shaped my spiritual journey." He asked, "How will MS become a new part of your spiritual journey?" Our story of the Ethiopian eunuch helps me think about my body in new ways. Normally, we tell the story from the perspective of Philip, a story of Philip embodying the inclusive spirit of the Jesus community. But I want to think about this story from the point of view of the eunuch. What did he experience? What did he learn? How did he change? Scripture described him. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. In just those few lines, we get a sense of this man, someone both important and impotent. He appears wealthy, the banker of the great queen of Ethiopia, riding in style, but also a person enslaved, a person who experienced sexual violence. Wealthy people like the queen forced castration on young slaves because they believed men unable to reproduce would not threaten their dynasties. He bore the marks of this in his own body, a higher voice, a softer face. People saw him and joked, "In charge of the queen's jewels, no jewels of his own." And he faced this when he traveled home to Jerusalem. Because this man probably identified as Jewish, part of the diaspora community, refugees who sought protection in Ethiopia. But this descendant of refugees was enslaved, separated from his family. Now he could finally return to Jerusalem, return to his people. But what happened? Rejection. As a eunuch, he could not enter the temple. The law of Moses prohibited eunuchs from the sanctuary. This prohibition was part of a larger set of rules against damaged bodies. The lame, the blind, the blemished. Scripture contains many stories of bodies that were seen as problematic. Problematic because they were not perfect. Scripture opens with the grand tale of creation that culminates in God creating humanity in the divine image, the Imago Dei. It can be beautiful to think of humanity as a reflection of divine perfection. But people didn't see the eunuch as perfect. No, he seemed damaged. And so they pushed him outside, outside the sanctuary, outside the bounds of community. What happens when our body doesn't appear perfect? Often our culture measures perfection in how close we come to our origins, how young, how intact, how strong, how well we match the sex assigned at birth. But what happens when our bodies fall short of some ideal? Lee McCobe, transgender poet, named their feelings in a poem. They began, "The first time I uttered a prayer was in a glass-stained cathedral. I was kneeling long after the congregation was on its feet, dipped both hands into holy water, traced the Trinity across my chest, my teeny body drooping like a question mark all over the wooden pew." The eunuch knew what it meant for his body to be a question mark. Riding from Jerusalem into a wilderness of rejection, he turned to Scripture for consolation, the prophet Isaiah for a word of hope. Philip approached at this point asking, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The eunuch read a few verses to Philip. "Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And he asked, is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? The eunuch saw himself in those verses. They echo with the experience of someone who suffered profound violence to his body and the loss of an ability to create children. Who can describe his generation? Philip told him about Jesus. We don't know what he said, but I imagine Philip talked of all the ways Jesus gathered in all sorts of bodies, the blind, the lame, the lepers, all the people told they didn't fit in society, found that they could belong to the Jesus movement. And Philip certainly told of all Jesus experienced in his body, like when Jesus sat at table with his disciples saying, "This is my body, broken." Instead of perfection, Jesus presented his own body as a question mark. And wasn't that the whole reason for the incarnation? The reason for the divine to come among us, to experience what it meant to live in a human body? "This is my body, broken." These words from our most sacred ritual remind me that our bodies can be revelatory, that instead of seeking perfection, we can instead try perception. Jesus' broken body helped us perceive the extent of God's love. What will our bodies help us perceive about God, about ourselves? Years ago, an older mentor developed Alzheimer's. A brilliant biologist who spent his life observing nature now turned his attention to himself. He told me once, I wasn't conscious of the process of growing from baby to child to adult, but now I'll observe it in the reverse. What I might have feared as loss and imperfection, he used as a reason to be observant. Later, when the disease had taken away his ability to engage in conversation, we sat together doing art therapy, drawing birds. Example pictures filled the table, and while we didn't talk, Jim imitated the calls of the different birds. But what I remember most was the joy that filled his heart and spilled over into mine. This is my body, broken, my joy given for you. I think about Jim now that I face my own progressive disease. Can I see my body as a means of grace instead of measuring it against an ideal? A similar thought crossed the mind of the eunuch as they passed by a body of water. He asked Philip, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Such a poignant question. What is to prevent me? Asked by a person always reminded of his imperfections. What is to prevent me? Asked by a person prevented from entering the temple. So much resounded in unspoken silence around his question. But, and it's a beautiful moment, Philip baptized the eunuch. For a man treated like an untouchable, Philip stopped and blessed him with water, touching his head, cradling his shoulders, lowering his body into the water, bringing him up, declaring aloud, "I baptize you in the name of God, Mother and Father of us all, God known to us as Jesus our brother, and God present to us as the Spirit." This transformed the exclusion of the eunuch. In Jerusalem, he heard, "No member, no membership." But now with Philip, it was, "No nuts, no problem." But I think the eunuch experienced the transformation differently. People in the disability rights movement point out that disability as a concept is a socially created category. We culturally construct the meaning of our bodies, male, female, black, white, able-bodied, disabled. The eunuch lived in a society that considered castration anathema, but celebrated male circumcision as righteousness. His society determined the meaning of his body. But when he went down into the water and came back up, reborn, he heard more than the messages of his society. Heaven spoke, "This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." No longer defined by how others saw him, he could begin to define his own meaning of his body. Leah McCobie, the transgender poet I quoted earlier, came to a similar point of proclaiming their own meaning in their body. "I treat my body like a house, and when your house is falling apart, you do not evacuate. You make it comfortable enough to house all your insides. You make it pretty enough to invite guests over. You make the floorboards strong enough to stand on." When people hear that I have MS, I usually quickly get questions about symptoms. Our society focuses on the problems of disease. But I ask myself a different question. What meaning am I finding in my body? What grace gets revealed to me? I take medicine only recently developed. It's a game changer in the treatment of MS, made possible because so many people before me gave themselves over to experiments and trials. I feel my body connected to them, my MS ancestors, my MS community. Their generosity shapes my life. And I'm taking part in a research study led by Johns Hopkins University. It will help identify the markers crucial to determining what treatments to prescribe. My body can be part of making someone else's MS experience better. Instead of measuring my body against an ideal, instead of focusing on what's not perfect, I find meaning in what my body can give. It brings me closer to Jesus, who taught me, "This is my body, broken, given for you." Friends, the Ethiopian went away with joy because he discovered a new way to live in his body. Joy not because he realized some ideal, but because he perceived his body as a means of grace, a revelatory body, broken, beloved, claimed, shared. May we discover such joy in our own bodies. Alleluia and amen. Please join with me in prayer. Holy One, we pray that your Spirit may surround all of us, each of us living in our bodies, that we may know we do not have to be perfect, but instead that our bodies can be that one of those places where we perceive your grace, one of those places where we know your Spirit, one of those places where we can feel your Spirit moving inside of us with sighs too deep for human words. Holy One, we thank you for the wonder of our bodies and the way in which they bring us closer to you. Amen. Friends, may you go this week to live as disciples on whatever road you journey on. And may you continue to discover the word that is breaking forth, the grace that is being revealed in your body. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.